Good morning.
Hello, everyone.
I think we might expect Kurt. No worries. Okay. Good morning, everyone. I think this is the entire group. Okay. We can start with probably Ian. Yeah. Do you have any updates, Ian?
Oh, I'm sorry. Was that for
You
me?
yeah.
Oh, no. We looked at the email issue the other day. Kurt and Jason and I. We're gonna try to add some logging to ModRS. There's a function there where it's probably throwing or silently failing. I don't know if. Yeah, Kurt's on. I don't know, Kurt. Were you able to add anything to log an error there?
So what I did was I did change the send email method. I think it's the method that so that if it fails, it actually raises an exception so that it should fail the calling method. So we should actually see it in the like if the send email actually doesn't work, we should actually see an error show up in the
Okay.
logs now.
And is that deployed to Sydney and Melbourne?
Yes.
Okay. And Mallory, you said you were able to replicate this on Sydney and Melbourne, right?
Yeah, I have not received any
Okay.
pull slip notifications in Sydney or Melbourne.
So, Kurt, do you remember what the text of the error was? I could look through the logs for this new error that we have.
Let's see if I still have it open. Hang on.
Or I can find it in the commit, I'm sure.
Let me just make sure I'm not lying to you about pull slip notifications. Yeah, they should come every day at 8 a.m. for.
I see it here. Not properly injected. Okay, yeah, I'm gonna look for this error. Yeah, but I mean we found that, the Amazon SES, which is how we send email, configuration is fine and everything. So there's something else going on here. So I'm gonna look for the new error that I see Kurt has added, and I will update the issue. It's here.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. And then other than that, we have to update test in production. Is the stuff that's going out to test ready or not yet?
I think yeah, I should assign this to you. I'm sorry. We are waiting on a few things. So we'll hear from Kurt and Jason about the status of a
Okay.
couple of these. But we're not quite ready, but there's a few there are a few things that will be kind of critical for them to test before we could upgrade their production environment
Sure.
next week. So I'm really hoping I'm out Thursday and Friday, and so I'm really hoping that we can get it upgraded later today or tomorrow if possible.
Yeah. And then I think the last thing is we were talking about or this isn't really trove related, so never mind. Okay, that's all I've got. I've got to run at 9:45, which is I guess when this meeting is over, but I'll be leaving then to quit
Yeah.
my kid off at.
Okay, cool. Thanks for the heads up. Maybe we should talk about the, I don't know where that, who has that ticket, if anyone. Let me see if I can find the one that has the bum. Oh, here it is. It's with Kurt. While Ian is still here, I was wondering if we could touch base on this. Which I thought was just a a one day occurrence. It looks like they are continuing to experience this issue, and they're seeing like many like encountered network error while trying to send a message or trying to print a pull slip. And then they also attached one yesterday where they couldn't upload a document to mod DMS. So something funky going on here. Also, I don't know if this is totally related, but there's at least this request where I don't know why that's not loading, but you can't like print the pull slip at all. It just is a blank screen. So lots of funky weirdness happening, and I don't know what has changed in prod except that we are rolling out the ISO partners, which is just a directory entry with an ALMA endpoint. So I don't know how that would cause this. So anyway, I'll leave it to the rest of you to discuss, but I'm just curious if there's anything that we need to be doing at this particular moment.
Yeah, I don't know enough about it yet. I was planning to start looking through the logs and code this morning and see if I could see anything relevant and any place we might need to increase our logging of what's actually happening.
I could take a look at the database. I don't think there was any issues that came up. I did put a note. I feel like this network error while trying to send a message happens an awful lot, and I don't think we've ever observed an actual network problem. So I suspect that this is like getting thrown as kind of a catch-all, but maybe you guys who can read the code better would be able to determine that.
Yeah, that kind of seems to follow along with Jakob's thing saying that there shouldn't be any network or any they don't send the ISO things during the print pull slip, right? So
Right.
I guess we need to figure out what exactly is happening in there.
Figured I would try to do some testing between they have two production test tenants, and so I can do a little bit of testing there today too and see if I like if it happens like super regularly or like what the deal is there. If that would be helpful for your logging and stuff, but it should be pretty easy to like search, I think, for all of these errors anyway, since they were kind of system wide. Okay, thank you for looking at this, Kurt. Anything else on that one, I guess, before we move on, but
Should it be a higher priority? How big of a deal is it for them, Valerie?
yeah, I'm bad at setting the that field. Yeah, I mean, I think this is causing a lot of distress. So I think that's a fair point. Sarah sent me maybe like another handful of requests, and they've also started submitting Freshdesk tickets. So I will be able to see if there's like anything different with those that they supplied after. That was last night when she was messaging me. But yeah, I don't like it's like the one that they reported last night was it took 20 minutes to be able to mark a pull slip printed, and like that's just gonna mess up their day if they have to wait around for
Yeah,
doing
right.
bait. Yeah.
I mean the 20 minutes thing—that's kind of interesting. I mean, the only thing, other thing I can think of is the connection leakiness of ModRS. If if it's just waiting for a connection.
Is that something that can be like adjusted or?
I mean. If it's a connection leak, I can give it more more connections, but that just means it will fail slower. At some point we would need to find what the problem is and fix it.
Sure, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's a running out of connections. If I give it more, it will just run out at a later time. So it doesn't really fix it per se.
Yeah, like that's just a band-aid. That doesn't
Yeah, I mean,
sound like,
I could
yeah.
try restarting Model S and this kind of thing if we, catch it when it's being slow or,
All right. Well, I think we'll let Kurt look at this, and then like I said, I'll try to do some testing. I'm wondering if me doing this in the middle of their night isn't really like going to see the same behaviors when they're all online trying to process requests, but it would at least tell us something, I guess.
Well, it does sound like a scaling issue.
Did you say a scaling issue?
Well, like you're saying, it's more to do with the fact that there's just more tenants and more people using it at the same time.
Right. But I guess if I see it, then we'll know it's not that.
Yeah, that's true.
yeah.
That's good to know.
I mean, I can certainly add another, replica or something like that, but I guess I'll be looking for some evidence that, it's actually running out of resources. I'm not sure if I've seen that yet.
At some point, maybe a less urgent situation, but we should try to contrive a test that's reproducible that demonstrates the connection pool leak.
Yeah, it would be certainly helpful to figure out what's going on.
How we would test that, just kind of like,
I mean, just like a shell script to like keep forking and launching off a bunch of new requests or a bunch of requests or pull slips or whatever it is that seems to actually, interesting. So the pull slips came up, right? But that was mentioned as one of the things that was causing delays. Maybe the whole pull slip thing is the source of it, because Jasper itself is the database connection. They create a connection handle and pass it to that other library, and maybe it's not mopped up properly in that. So the first thing one might try is sending a bunch of pull slip requests in short order.
So how would you do that? You can, I'm just not as familiar with UI. So you go into your request and you just click print pull slip, and then Jasper will run that big query that runs.
Yeah, there's like a perform action or something endpoint where that gets sent to. And so, yeah, just keep making requests at that endpoint. I don't think it's terribly smart about caching, but you can just give it a really wide date range and decrement it by a day every time or something, or a second.
And a different tech, I guess, Mallory. The nature of this problem, would they be able to notice that this problem has gone away if it did? Like, would it be obvious from using the system, like, oh, this is no longer slow? Like,
Yeah, I think it would be obvious, and they it is like producing errors in the audit trail, so
right. And
they know.
do we have anything we can do that shows the slowness? Like, if you go in and try to show a pull slip, will it take 20 minutes, like they're reporting?
I have not tried to reproduce that particular air, but I can. She sent me, let me just grab the specific one and I can just see if it's still doing that. Oh wait, they would have eventually been able to mark it as pull slip printed. So I will see if I can find one that does that.
Okay, I mean, I guess what I'm getting at is if we can do something slow, then I can look at, idle connections and restart some stuff and whatever, and we can try it again. And if that speeds it up, then that will indicate that there's some issue either with leaks or maybe scale.
Is it pretty easy to see from your console the open connections? Because then maybe you don't have to actually create a stress situation. You can just run three pull slips and see if you're left with three more open connections in the
Right.
requirement.
I can see the amount of connections that are open. I mean, they're pooled, I guess. And I can see if something gets left hanging, I can see it in Postgres if it's open still. I'm looking at the long-running connections in Trove Prod now. Interestingly, I see a bunch of stuff from Mod Batch Print. Are we using that or?
I mean, they might be printing like batches of pull slips. Is that even the same thing? I'm not sure.
I
I've never
don't,
heard of Mad Botch.
we don't, I don't think we use it, but it gets pulled in.
What was it called again, Ian?
Mod batch print.
And so that's an actual Folio module, not some weird thing that they might have, because we Reshare does call a batch of pull slips a batch. But it wouldn't be a separate module of
Right.
the pull slip thing.
Yeah, that's a folio module.
Huh.
But it's I
Then why
didn't
would it
like
have database connections even? That's a
why would it because it requires them, I guess. I mean it's just doing, some sort of timed thing to whatever
Yeah.
it is. It's not
To look at the empty print key
relevant.
for the module, it's not being used, it's just required
Yeah.
by.
Exactly. It's probably not relevant. But I just was hoping to see a bunch of like stuff from ModRS or something obvious here.
But maybe it's another thing that we can stub out with our
Probably.
handy Swiss Army knife of stubbing out folio modules so that we can have those two or three connections for our existing leak.
I'm sorry. So what is the what's the next step on this one? Like, what do you want me to do, or what are you gonna do? Like, I'm sorry, I think I got a little lost along the way here. Like, are we still Kurt's gonna look at the logs, you're gonna look at some connection stuff, Ian, or like, is there stuff you want me to try to reproduce?
It would be great if we can observe some slowness on our own. So like if there's something like showing a pull slip or something that we can do, that would be really great. Right now, I mean, I guess I'm just kind of looking around performance related things. I don't think I have much of a lead here, but I'm looking, for open connections in the database or whatever. I would like to just honestly, I would like to restart ModRS and see if it changes it, but it would be cool if we could see it go slow first, because then after restarting it, if it goes fast, that would be interesting.
So step one, at least step one, would be to just try to print a pull slip at this point and see how that
Yeah.
works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See if we can figure out, get any of the same results they're getting on these test ones. Like, can you print a pull slip,
Yeah.
whatever?
I already did one in here and it did it immediately. Like I just printed this pull slip and moved it along a few minutes ago. So that was fine. I'll see if I have like anything else in here. These may or may not be mine, but hopefully they don't mind that I'm messing with them. Where are all the actions? Hold on a second. Isn't this, this is kind of weird, right? All right, hold on a second. I'll go back in here. Yeah. Well, I can try printing the pull slip, but I don't know why like the other options aren't here. Wow. Something's really messed up on that one.
Well, is that good or is that for some other reason? Like
I
the
have
bed test
no
requirements
idea.
too.
How old is this request that I'm looking at? I'll see if I can find out on this other side too. All right, T6-132. I don't know why we're not seeing like the other actions that should be available, but also this button isn't available, so that's kind of bizarre. Yeah, something's. This should be in expects to supply, and it's not after this marked it as will supply. So I think something's wonky here.
Should we look at the broker log for that one and see if it
Yeah, let's see
appears?
what happens. More problem. No. Just trying to see if there was anything that expects this outgoing expects to supply message. But that was on the 17th. That was when this was first broken. So I wonder if this is like old, like it got messed up when they were originally doing that testing. It doesn't, there's no new activity here. I guess I can try to find this. This request generally in the broker log and see if there's anything now that actually no, that wouldn't work.
Can
Or
you
like
just redo the thing that was supposed to do something else? Sorry to be vague. You said it was supposed to have other actions and it didn't or something.
yeah, this request like
Hit pimple slip. You said it's supposed
yeah.
to, yeah, that's supposed to be
Yeah.
there. Okay. Is there anything in the browser console? Inspect and then go to the network tab.
Oops, sorry.
That's all right.
Why is this? It opened as a separate window. Hold on a second. Okay.
Then on the network tab, let's see what happened. Yeah, it doesn't. Everything's 200 or whatever, all the way down. Okay.
Like, yeah. This request was created when they were having all those problems the other night, so I don't know if it just got into like a weird like date or something between the two test tenants. Because it has this. Oh, wait. So this hasn't encountered a network error on 722. Isn't that like right now? Is this for me? Yeah, this was me marking this as will supply. And it says it encountered a network error, but I didn't notice anything slow when I was doing that.
Yeah, so I think, well, I mean, definitely to figure out. I think we should definitely find what's causing it to report that error and see if we can increase the logging around that juncture.
Okay.
It
I think.
could be that it's assuming things are network errors and they might not be network errors. I mean, I think it's, I don't know, it could be a catch-all, something went wrong here.
Database connections and network error and ISO network connections come from the same pool of allocated connections to the process or the container, whatever.
Well, I don't think it's trying to s indicate a database connection error there as so much as is that an ISO thing? Like I couldn't reach the broker or I couldn't reach.
Yeah, my guess is that when it says network error, it means that it tried to send an ISO message and it didn't go
Right, or
through.
fails. But that may not be the result of it, the network actually being down, which I'm dubious of. Here's the in chat, I just put where the error message is or whatever.
Now, I was just wondering if there is a connection leak, if we're talking, if it's the same pool of network connections that it uses ultimately for databases and ISO.
Right, yeah, I mean that could
They're
be.
leaking in one place, then it would show up in a place that it's trying to create a connection for something.
Right, that's true. Yeah, it says this error is in the case where protocol result status is error. I don't know. I'm not gonna be able to read this as well as you guys would, but what function is this in? Send request agency, send requesting agency message.
Yeah, we'll just have to look where those audit trails are generated and see by what means you can actually elicit that.
I don't know.
Ian, you don't have a thing that would monitor those allocations of network connections over time, do you? Something that would have shown whether there's a spikiness to it, like you guys monitor other things.
I mean, I can see an overall number of connections to the database, but I don't have a metric for, well, maybe I do have a metric for how many connections ModRS has open, but it's always a little deceiving because it'll immediately spin, it'll spin up the configured number of connections that it's allowed to have pretty quickly. And whether or not those are getting used or hung is hard to tell because it'll say you can have Hikari can have 20 connections or something to the database and those are shared and at some point they should be recycled, but if they're being used for nothing then it doesn't really raise an alarm so much as just sit there, I guess.
Gotcha.
I don't know if anyone saw that I submitted a request from T6 to TSOX while we were talking and got this error here. But
Yeah, that's good.
I don't think it's ever hitting. It's like there's no broker logs and it hasn't been sent to the other test tenant yet. Like it's still sitting with the broker. So that's definitely problematic.
You do that just now, Byron?
Yeah, like I did that while we were chatting here. I just submitted it a few minutes ago, 3 minutes ago, and
Well, that's promising.
yeah. Also, like I'm not seeing like even a cancel button here. So that also
Is
feels weird.
this something that you can repeat? Like, can you just do the same thing again and get the same result?
Yeah, I'll try another one.
Okay, do that and let's see if we get the same result. And then I'm going to bounce ModRS to see if it will, kind of reset that connection pool. And we'll try it again.
Feels like it would be pretty bad if this is happening all over the place in production.
I agree.
It does sound pretty bad.
I think we've sort of been trying to punt around this network, this connection issue for a long time, but it might be time to address it here.
Here's the same problem
Same
sending
thing.
su
All right,
to supplier gateway.
let me balance Moderate. So I took some log samples. Drove prod.
I don't like that it says this was sent to the external broker, but we're not getting anything in the broker log. Like, there's nothing here. Like, it doesn't feel like it actually did send it. But.
Huh.
Yeah, so I'm getting ISO 1866 failed to send array index out of bounds exceeds. Yeah, so that sounds like not a network error per se. Are people looking at the Zoom chat? Can I put it in there?
Yeah, let me see that. If it's saying an array and it's out of bounds, it sounds like something's wrong in the code base.
Indeed.
Yeah, something's up there. It doesn't look like a network problem at all.
And one other one, which I don't like the look of either, but maybe that's helpful. This one says, sorry, it's hard to read in that little chat, but missing multiple symbol match for ISIL broker. Does that sound familiar to anyone?
Well, the finding ILL service accounts for null doesn't.
That seems like an index out of bound related thing, perhaps. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of it is, I know that some of it is left over from, I know there's one part we need to clean up the error logs because it's just the way that it falls back on the default gateway when it can't find a ILL address in the directory, just because of how we switched it over from how it was working before to working with the broker. But the out of bounds thing is new to me. But I'll be happy to dig into that and see if I can figure out what's going on there.
Before we jump off the call, do you mind repeating that test that we just did where it through an error? You don't have to drop what you're doing, but it just restarted
Yep.
progress just to see, like, with a fresh connection pool, if it succeeds, that would be interesting.
Yep. Maybe.
Yeah, okay, it's up there. It takes kind of a long time to start back up, so.
Went to TSOX, it looks like. No error messages in here. We've got broker log. And let me just make sure that I can do normal things over here. And oops. Maybe.
That's interesting. Does that can you refresh that? Yeah, 500. Interesting. Okay. Can you refresh that? I'm just tailing the logs so I can catch whatever this is about. Thanks. This one says, geez.
Oh, there she's back. Let's see if I can. Yeah. All right. Maybe that was, it was just feeling testy for a second.
Oh.
What is
Current
that?
modification. So I think it was locked. That's probably what was going on there.
Oh, that's not doing anything over here. I thought it would tell me. Valid action was not supplied.
I don't think I ever seen a concurrent modification exception before. That's a new one to me.
This threw two different errors when I tried to hit will supply. Weird. Oh. Apparently that went through at some point. To see if this got data. No, it didn't get the will supply message.
So is anything working in this system right now?
I'm starting to get a little concerned. Okay, I was able to mark that pulse that printed. Let's just see if this lets me actually fill this request. And we'll go from there. All right. Well, I don't know why it wasn't marking it as will supply, but it looks like I can proceed with this request now. I just want to see if there's anything else. Sorry. I just copied it. I mean, even that is slower than usual. I don't know if you're actually, if you saw that, but like, it's kind of, all right, well, that went fine, but. Okay, I know Ian, you need to go. I was able to complete this, but it was a little wonky for a minute on the TSOX side, the supplying side. But
Okay, yeah, I mean, how are we gonna come at this then? I guess I just want to figure out what I need to do going forward to move this along.
you already restarted ModRS, right?
Yep. And then we were able to get it through after we did that.
I guess for
Is there
like
a is there a stack trace for that array index out of bounds section? Like, or is that all we have for
that's
that?
all we got for that one.
Okay.
Weird.
It's in the protocol message service on the sending. Let's see. somewhere in this in the message sending service. I don't know. I'll see if I can drill down into there.
Okay. So you're gonna continue exploring these logs, and I should probably continue playing around in the environment, you think?
Yeah, I guess I'll attach logs to this ticket and I'll look at other performance stuff, but is there anywhere where we can get folks to look at the, sort of network error that's getting reported? How that's getting thrown in the code, and if
Yeah,
it
I'll
actually
check
doesn't
out the
work here.
network error stuff and see if I can
Sweet.
make the logging more granular or specific if I can.
So that's we've got Kurt doing that, looking at the network error. Ian's gonna attach some logs, and I will continue testing.
And then maybe I'll sync up with those guys once I finish the immediate things that we wanted to get out to testing today so that maybe I can be useful later too.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I know Ian needs to go, but I don't know if Kurt and Jason, if you have a little bit of time to hang on, because I got like a 47-page email about their R4 expectations, and I'd like to talk through some of them with you.
Oh my gosh. All right.
yeah, I mean, that was an exaggeration, but
It's only 27
well,
pages.
like, but like it is indicative of some kind of a mistaken assumption, or just like we're not quite on the same page on what's happening here, it seems. Just based on, for example, their hyper specific message that they asked to be included in the UI for the cost thing. It's like, hey guys, this isn't like a custom software that only you run. Can you disabuse yourself of that notion? Like,
Like it says like TPRS throughout this, and it's just like it's kind of extremely like you and I thought we would have like a one sentence error, and I don't even think we recorded one we actually talked about doing.
yeah, it's in Slack. That's
Yeah,
recorded.
it's in it's well, I just meant in the ticket, but yeah. So then they sent this like sort of like paragraph thing they want us to include, and
Well, did you share ours?
no, I haven't talked to them since we discussed that on Friday. So you know, I haven't said like, hey, I think we're gonna do a one sentence error message, but they didn't on when I talked to them Thursday night, they didn't have like any idea of what they wanted it to say. So that was, you know, I was kind of taking a guess at what we would include when I created this ticket. But yeah, so I don't even know, is this too long? You know what I mean? Like, is it gonna look insane?
Well, let's just go with what we had because that does the job. There wasn't a warning before. Now there is a warning. And that's got to be doing 90% of it. And in general, just the fact that they would even suggest that speaks to a fundamental misunderstanding as to what this project is and what we're doing here.
Well, it kind of harkens back to like when they wanted all of the reshare branding to be like completely like gone, which we didn't end up going through with most of that. But yeah, I think that there's like this idea that it's like this their TPRS service and theirs alone. But
And if they want to
yeah.
pay us enough money to fund creating a like fork of the UI that has like to make it skinnable to the extent that they can provide their own everything, I mean, we can probably do that. We can probably set them up with their own translation file and they can custom edit it and we can make this thing like more themable and whatever if they want to fund all that development. But that's not part of the project that they scoped out for us.
Right.
And I think the actual reshare organization might have some opinions about taking off in a direction like that.
Yeah, I don't know if Seb is still here. Yeah, Seb, I might need your help responding to this email, at least just like reviewing that my responses aren't like too cold-hearted. But I think like there's some like I've already like I tried to tell them that they were going to have to just train their staff that there was a step that they could no longer negotiate and they were not excited about that. So yeah.
Also, I posted a comment on that issue, but there were three states called out.
Yeah, did you see my response on that?
Okay, I saw the thing about the wording. Maybe I got so alarmed by the wording thing that I didn't notice the actual response.
Yeah, the tricky part with the states is that if you have combined actions on, they don't have, there's no resawait shift step when combined actions are on. And so,
And some of them use it and some of them don't.
well, I think right now everyone has it off, which is why I have Sydney set up that way generally. But I think that there's definitely like if we were ever to implement this in the US, like they would definitely like almost every tenant has combined actions on. So
Okay. So what I really need to do is actually check that setting and then choose the state.
which is annoying.
But
I'm probably
better
more
than but better than putting the warning, this is your final step, and then it's like, oh haha, now this is your final step.
Yeah, I
So
know.
like
I realized that was kind of like a false warning if you have it there in when the combined actions are off, but I didn't
yeah.
think you'd be able to do the granular thing based on that setting, but
Yeah, we pull all the settings. Like I changed it now because we kept adding. It's like every time we did something, we started checking another setting in the UI. So it eventually got to a place where it was getting silly. So now like a week or two ago, I set it so that now we just pull down all the settings because that was
okay.
actually. Rather than making a separate request tree to them, because the overhead from the traffic of that was just pointless.
Not to mention, I mean,
And
that every time you need a new setting, we had to like add like a new hook to pull it in. So,
well, you still kind of have to add
well,
any
I guess
because
so, yeah.
it still is using a hook, but like I did clean it up to make it a little more convenient to access the settings, and it so it makes everything cleaner and tidier. And so that's even easier than it was before. But yeah, we could always do that. And it seems like that's what we need here. And so that's what I'll do.
What did we decide we thought the language should be for this before we got their message? I was gonna put it into the ticket.
Yeah, we were querying all the AI models and Mistral won this one with last chance to adjust costs before they become final.
That's the one we liked. This is what we'll try. We can always see how
But
much they hate it.
I think for entertainment value, that modify costs now or accept them as final was best.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, we did go through we went through a ton of those. I have a feeling that they're not going to be excited about this after sending me this, but we can give it a whirl and see what happens.
Well, it will be a warning. which is better than no warning.
Right. Yeah.
And
Okay, so
like the it they're kind of literally wasting your time with that stuff. It's like there is we need to address the higher level issue of
yeah.
not
Well,
working together on project reshare here.
we can let's look at the long, the 47 page thing together, Mallory, and maybe see if there's a, if we need to adjust expectations in some way.
Yeah, well, and even with this one, like, I mean, we could effectively say like we already programmed something, like, sorry. I don't know. There's another one that they, yes, Seb, I will definitely want to sync up with you on the email. They've adjusted now. Instead of request pool, they sent the most recent email says that they would like to call it pool. And I know we already talked about this cost exclude GST. We're definitely not going to do that, because it's also extremely specific, but I don't know if we're going to change the max cost label at all at this point. I think that's pending. Actually, did you finish this? Yeah, you just put this in review or last night, maybe. I need to look at this
Well, I put
to
it in
see
code
how the.
review. So maybe I should just
Oh,
merge
cook.
it though, because Kurt has more important things to do, and it actually wound up being relatively simple-ish. So I don't know. Did you want to glance at my PR, Kurt?
I could take a quick look at it, just just for my benefit.
Yeah, good to both have an understanding of what's going on.
Yeah, so I, this is probably another one that we're gonna have to talk to them about. I like yeah, but I don't know what we're calling the max cost field if we're gonna leave it as maximum cost, and then have a separate cost field record the final actual cost.
Well,
That's what I,
that's what I just implemented. So,
yeah. Yeah. So as far as you are, like, we'll still say max cost, and there will be like an additional cost field or some final cost field
exactly.
or
Yeah.
something.
Yeah. It's
Okay.
just called cost. So I think it's entirely reasonable that once we decide if they're called tiers or pools, and if I think we can, it's already kind of a shaky feature that it's a bit specific, but we might try to think about what we want it to be in general and then maybe come up with a name based on that. But whatever that is, it could be the tier cost or the pool cost rather than max cost, because that's actually what it is in that context.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
And that rate, so what I did for now is the cost isn't when you have the routing disabled, which we're currently using as the main flag for, hey, we're doing a Trove thing. I use the max cost as the initial value for the cost field.
yeah.
Whereas when that isn't, when that, when in any other case, like Palantir or whatever, it doesn't have an initial value and then only gets set if someone uses the cost condition. Now, in future, when we start using the broker for more stuff, that might not always hold. And so we should probably think about moving the setting for, hey, we're using tiers to the back end. Because this is now, like previous to this, there wasn't really a concept of a tier on the back end at all. It was really just something that we're presenting in that form. And we're using service level and max cost to communicate it. But now that we're using that as the initial value for the cost field, that's we're really starting to enshrine this idea of, okay, in this context, that's a tier cost.
I see. So that's why, like, you think it makes sense that we could change this to maximum cost of something that is actually related to tiers or pools.
Right, because that is what we're using it as. It is like tiers really are the combination of cost and service, or max cost and service level.
Right.
And that is no longer the max cost, that is the cost for that tier. So that's like the baseline cost for any request that's associated with that tier.
I just don't like the word pool as much as tier, but I
Because it
probably just
really
need
isn't a
to.
pool, it really is a pricing tier, and it really isn't a pool of requests. So,
I know, but like, how do I just say, like, your logic is silly? Not that,
well,
but
find some people that are on the reshare steering committee and have a conversation about it, and then be like, oh, well, we talked about this feature in the broader reshare context, and for the overall software, we decided that tier was a more neutral and usable whatever.
Does talking to Seb count as talking to the steering committee?
It sounds like a product team type thing too, but I don't know. They seem, are they overwhelmed at the moment?
well, just yeah, I guess there's like a lot of initiatives that they're kind of focused on right now, but I'm sure I could ask them about this. I just don't know if it'll be done in time for their for August 1st, but
Well, we can get together and press and be a quorum of the community, I suppose, in some way. I don't really understand pool either, to be honest. But I thought a participation tier made a ton of sense.
it seem like something you could see another consortium ever wanting to use?
The mechanism in general, as opposed to the language.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I think so. Especially if we think about maybe not quite in the same way, but that's why we made it general. But if we introduce the notion of digital into, say, Palsy, it may be that not everybody wants to do digital, or maybe somebody wants to do digital, but they want to charge for it. Or maybe Palsy can grow its pool, forgive me, Mallory, of potential suppliers by allowing for a digital-only participation tier. So it makes sense to me, especially not so much in terms of the price versus no price, because internally in consortia, things are free. But there's also sort of an interesting angle that we haven't really thought through about what does it look like if we want to support cross-consortial stuff? And would we use this type of mechanism in some way? Would it be something else? Because it may be that Palsy wants to be able to do free document fulfillment or copy fulfillment, but they want to charge libraries when you go across consortial boundaries. It's nice to think that this a similar kind of mechanism could play in, but on the other hand, I think, at least in my mind, it would be ideal if we didn't have to expose, if we didn't have to have sort of a single global directory of let's say Palsy and BLC and IDS wanting to work together, which they've talked about. Like, would it be better if we could maintain the directories separately and just throw a request over the wall into a neighboring consortium, as opposed to having a single directory with all of those libraries in it. So there's some edge cases around this, but I think the mechanism of tiers does feel like something that could come into play elsewhere.
Well, and when you actually put it, that last example you said where you're throwing it into a different consortium, like that kind of makes pool make more sense than tier to me in that context. Okay. Well, I guess we'll keep thinking on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just uncomfortable with the idea of taking this sort of new kind of fundamental building block of the system, this kind of concept that we're trying to introduce and make into a thing, and then having its very name be decided semi-arbitrarily by one customer.
Well, we
Right.
it happened with networks too. We were actually trying to encourage them to help us come up with a name for the feature. And ultimately, they were just like, "Well, we like the name networks." And we were like, "I was like, fine, okay." We've been trying to figure out if there was like, we talked about affinity groups and we talked about pods and all kinds of stuff, and they were just like. But in this case, they actually got to name like the tier thing. I think goes back to the RFP, doesn't it? Maybe I'm wrong,
I'm
but I recall tiers having been tiers and networks has been how we talked about it with them the whole time, as I recall.
wait, sorry, where's their main? Oh gosh, this thing has gotten kind of insane. Let's see
Well,
here.
then we could just we've socialized this broadly in the project. That's been kind of the established name. That's how it's understood at this point.
This says participation group, and then they also still had affinity groups in this document, which we've renamed networks.
I think we made up the term affinity groups in our proposal.
Okay. But your updated directory model or whatever, like this talks about networks and tiers, and I thought that they were kind of like, yeah, membership tiers.
Yeah.
Like I thought this was kind of the like, they approved of this
That's what I
idea.
felt. That's what I felt too,
Well, yeah.
shit, I need to hop off to another thing, guys. I'm sorry.
Okay, sounds good. I will sync up with you later, Seb, about this message. Kurt and Jason, if Kurt or Jason, if you can merge this so I can play around with it, that'd be fantastic. The cost negotiation changes, and if you want to proceed with the warning label that we talked about, that'd be great. Kurt, I
The
want to
short
let you
one or the
know.
long one or the one on, yeah.
I mean.
I'll start with the shortest one. We'll see where they go.
Yeah, we can see it. The sooner we can get something out for them to like react to again, like I don't know if we'll be able to change this in time for their go live if they are really like, no, we need this long sentence or something, but I think that'd be good if we could get that to their test environment soon. I think this is working. I messaged you last night, well, yesterday after whatever afternoon. The two express requests did age. This one just aged like faster than this one by like a few minutes or maybe 10 minutes or something. So I don't know if it was like when they happened, like this one hit a different 15-minute increment or something, but it was, in my opinion, close enough to the 2 hour. And so I'm gonna just place a couple more express requests after this meeting and make sure that they age, around noon or whatever. My rush request should age this afternoon around 2:30. So I'll let you know how that goes, but it seems like really promising. So I wouldn't worry about this right now.
All right, I'll look at the other stuff then to worry about.
Okay. Yeah, this bug issue is probably the most exciting. And then Jason, I wanted to ask you about, they've also asked about these two tickets, which this one I thought I already created, but I think we just talked about it and I hadn't created it, but they want some way to filter on the supply and request apps by cost or by pool or tier or whatever. And so that's one thing. And they're still asking if they will see the requester request pool, I'm sorry, tier pool. They've now changed what they want to call this again. In the request, and I can't remember where we ended on that, if it'll display on either side of the request.
Yeah, so we can approximate it, sort of.
Okay, cool.
Well, no, well, just with a caveat, it is the combination of service level and cost, and well, and maximum cost. So actually, that won't approximate it because that's exactly what it was set to. So that's what's communicated with here. So now that we've got costs split out to a separate field, that even if they've changed the cost later, we'll know which tier they were because it's the tier cost, the maximum cost. So instead of like previously, I had it if your service level is equal to this and the cost is equal to or greater than, because previously you could only raise it, right?
Right.
Then that's the tier I chose to represent what the current value for this is when you went to edit. And so I'll use that same logic, and now I can just have maximum cost actually equal that, and then that will select the tier, or just like determine the tier for display.
Okay, sweet. Do you need me to put this like in your queue?
Just tell me what order to do them in, basically. So right now I'm looking at merging the translation for the call, like the UI piece, a tiny UI piece of the thing that Kurt may or may not review in the next few moments before I merge that. And then I was going to do the warning label in game.
Yeah, I think that's the right order.
And then after the warning label thingy, let me know what you want me to do next. And then
Okay.
if I don't hear something, what I do is I go and I look over in that column and I pick the thing with the angriest amount of red.
Okay, I will think about this with the in my thinking up with Seb, and because like I said, this email had all of these things in them, so I just want to know like what makes sense to do and not do. So, but I'll sync up with you slash change the priority on these, and also like some of these like probably don't need to be sitting in your queue right now. Okay,
Okay. Because yeah,
Kurt,
one of them
sorry.
had like the one where it was like we weren't sure we wanted to change some of the translations to when we were doing tier versus pool or whatever. That one, it didn't feel like it was worth putting something for now because then we'll just be like, yay, it's going to stay this way. And then it's like, well, no, it's not. So we need to kind of cement that
Yeah,
one. So.
exactly. I wanna know what approach Seb thinks is like a valid response to their email. And once I know that, I'll update this ticket because like I kind of am like, should we throw them the pool bone?
Yeah,
Because we're
put it on
definitely not gonna do this
stalled.
cost exclude GST. Yeah, sure. And then, or do we just say like we're not doing either of those? So, yeah.
And
But
then
yeah, so
maybe
this one's stalled now.
we should just like we another way we could do it is have like a little research project into is there a way that we can build the UI bundle? Like we were kind of doing it by just kind of quarantining their stuff in the translation file for British English,
Yeah.
which would eventually once Folio supported it, which it will in the next versions and become the one for Australian English, and then just let them go wild with their translations there.
Like, that's a
But
future date, though, right? Like,
Right. Well, we could do that currently because no one else is using the British English one. And then by the time we do have another British customer, well, we hope we're going to be off Model S anyways, but even if we're not, so then we just have to make decisions on, okay, well, what do we want this to be in the kind of default neutral translation that things fall back to, and then they can make their own little weird random universe in their Australian translation for things. And we're used to Australians having funny words for stuff, so it'll make sense.
Yeah, it's like we I guess like it would be nice if we could just have an Australian like translation file and just
Which we will. Like it's like
yeah.
the next folio version or something. So we can move the British English, we can just rename it as EN underscore AU as opposed to EN underscore GB. And so,
So
it's probably the case that all interlibrary loan in Australia goes through Trove.
yeah, at least the bulk of it. I'm not sure if, yeah, I mean, that's the national catalog, but
So I think we can maybe get to a place where it's like, sure, you can just name stuff whatever, but we're going to bill you for any time required to deal with your weird translation file. It's like a separate thing. I don't know how we want to. That's not my
yeah.
call, but like there, it just
Right.
seems like a weird, excessive hassle to do that. But if their interests are limited to the translations, then that should be doable because we can kind of segregate them over there. The one thing that I would say though is that if they want to have something super long in a place that it doesn't fit in the normal UI, that I don't think it's reasonable for them to ask us to rearrange the UI so that their arbitrary ideas of what the label should be will fit.
Right. Yeah, I
The
mean, I
idea
agree. Like
constraint they're
that's
operating in, kind of thing.
yeah.
Then we can even be like, okay, here is the main translation file, and here's yours. You can also override other translations if you feel like, just send us an update for this file. And then we'll just build it into the test. And then we don't even have to be in the loop as much. And they can just go wild with it. I don't know if we necessarily want to do that. I think we may benefit from them kind of being more on the same page and their users being more on the same page as the rest of the reshare community. Like if we
I
actually
mean,
get to
yeah.
a place where we have better documentation and training and stuff, and everything's going to be talking about tiers and all the Australian stuff is saying request pool or whatever.
Request pool.
Or is there something longer they might call it? It'll probably be that. There was some acronym TRLS or something like that was in one of these, or TPRS.
TP TPRS, yeah, Trove Partner Resource Sharing.
Yeah, so it could be like TPRS request pool instead of tier everywhere, and so it'll just be this like really big long-winded thing all the time, and so they've never seen the word tier before, and so they sign up to go on some reshare training course, and then now tiers have become more cemented in the software and they're being used elsewhere in the world and reshare has grown. And so they go on this training course and like nothing will make sense to them because everything has been renamed and they're overzealous retranslating. So even though we can give them pretty much any translation, if they're just going to stick to translations, maybe we shouldn't. But I don't know. Yeah, like you say, do we just want to throw them a bone and just move on kind of thing? I don't know. But that
Yeah.
could be the same for this warning. Then I can just put that warning so that the feature makes sense in normal reshare. And then the thing that changes for them isn't the functionality, but it's just the translation that's displayed.
I mean, that might be like the least painful way to manage it, but I still like, you know, it's a lot to do as a special case, so
But then it, yeah, then it's also the thing where we have that we like choosing the wording itself is kind of an exercise. And so if they're providing the Australian wording, then we still have to come up with our own wording for the defaults. I don't know.
I mean, thankfully we already do have default for most of those, but it's just like kind of a lot to. I'm just worried that, like, you know, what if the US consortium start being like, well, like Trove got to have a special translation file because they're the only Australians, but like PALSI wants something different than IPLC. We're not going to be like, well, here's the English translation file for PALSI and here's the one for IPLC. You know, like it could get a little slippery, I think, but
Yeah, it's like we don't necessarily have a mechanism for that, but we could maybe try to make one. But yeah, why do we want to go down that road? That doesn't seem like fun at all for anyone.
Okay, well, let me get back to you
Maybe
on
have
that
that
one.
conversation in that way with Shrove. He's like, do you see where this leads?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe with Caval, I don't know about with Trove, but hey Kurt, I know that we talked a little bit about request aging and you're gonna look at this bug issue. Was there anything you wanted to talk about though, like while we're all here together? Because I know everyone's got stuff to do, but
Yeah, no, I don't think I have anything pressing that needs to be brought up. One thing that's kind of tangential is that the request, I know the request aging issue was something that had originally come up with, I think it was one of the other consortiums, right? Had wanted it. Do we want? Well, I guess the question is, do we need to make a backport for that to be able to deploy on the older versions, or are we not going to worry about that?
I think that until like the older versions don't have these other the Russian Express settings that we created. So I think when they get upgraded with a version of ReShare that has Russian Express support, or if they ever get that, then we would want to make sure that the aging works for those other two. But I think that the for core or standard, we're just using the existing functionality that's in ReShare. So,
All right.
yeah, thank you for checking though. Right. Well, there's a chance I'll have a question for one or both of you when I get to going through this whole email, but until then, thank you very much for everything you're working on already, and I appreciate it. All right,
Yeah.
talk to you all soon.
Thanks for keeping it all
Yeah.
organized.
Yeah, we'll
See ya.
definitely be in
All
touch.
right, bye.